You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
It is Friday. It's my last show before vacation. I am super amped, and I'm more amped because we have a very, very special guest coming up here on the Locked On Wolverines podcast, which is brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. As said, we do have a special guest today. We've been trying to get him on for years now, and we finally made it happen. Former Michigan cornerback Jordan Lewis, who has been a starting cornerback with the Dallas Cowboys. He's a free agent now. But we are going to be talking to him. You'll hear from him in the middle of the show. And we're going to bookend that with, I have a piece that's going to be running. I don't remember what day I have it set for. I think Monday, while I'm either at Magic Kingdom or Epcot. That's what that day is for me. And it's the most important Wolverines in 2021. So I'm going to give you a sneak preview of that, which I haven't even finished writing it. I just basically came up with my list. So whatever I say here is probably what's going to end up going in the article eventually. So let's start off with that. Let's go ahead and get into that. So we'll do the top five now. We'll do the next five at the end of the show. So the bottom five, rather. So we're counting down. Start with Giles Jackson at number 10. I have him as my 10th most important Wolverine. Listen, Giles did not have the breakout year that you hoped. He did have some moments. Obviously, the return to open up the second half against Rutgers is what put Michigan in the pole position to take that game back after it looked like they weren't going to emerge from that game. So I think that I think that Giles, having had a couple years of experience, little bit of a setback year, but now he's going to be a junior. I feel like he is poised to be a guy that can really be a game breaker. I think you look at him more than most of the other wide receivers, and you look at him more than even some of those guys that you're excited about, Xavier Worthy and Christian Dixon, some of those types of guys, to be able to be a guy that can really take things to the next level, to really do the speed and space as you hope. So I'm excited to see what happens with him. I think that he's got incredible speed. He's got really good awareness. Just, again, Michigan was not in a good position for the majority of the year. Giles had a little bit of a setback here, but I think now you can look at him as being a really big true threat. My number nine is Willie Allen, who I think is going to lock down the right side. He's the transfer who originally committed to LSU. He transferred to Louisiana Tech, I believe I have that right. It's amazing how many times I write some of these things and I forget because my memory is just so terrible sometimes. But nonetheless, I mean, he's a guy coming in as a grad transfer. He's going to be able to get, plug right in right away. Huge body. I think he's going to fit in quite nicely into what Michigan is trying to do up front. You got an instant starter, and I think that he's a guy that can come in and really do some things. I should add, this list is subject to change depending on who Michigan ends up getting in the transfer portal. I know they're working on a couple guys. I don't have much clarity on who. I've been trying to get clarity for over a month and don't get much of it. But nonetheless, Willie Allen, I think, is a guy that if he can anchor that one side and then you have either Ryan Hayes or Carson Barnhart on the other side, at least you know your ends are in a really good position. And obviously, as a grad transfer, you want him to be able to come in and start, have a really good year. Number eight, this might surprise some people, but I have Jamon Green, cornerback who was much maligned at the beginning of the season, did not look good at all for the first three plus games, and then took the last two and a half games essentially and really, really improved. He ended up grading out really well for the season period on Pro Football Focus. But he had easily the best game against Penn State. He had the type of game that anyone could wish for. He was everywhere. He did everything right. He was the one guy on the field that you could count on. I think he's going to take that to the next level. You'll hear from Jordan, why a guy like him was able to turn it on as the season progressed. And I think that bodes well going in for this next season, especially with a new coach that I think is going to do some really good things in Ann Arbor. So that was number 8. Number 7, so 2 more. This one I have basically is a big shrug emoji. Whoever the starting center is, because I don't have any idea. I don't know if Andrew Vistardis is coming back or not. I think I should assume that he is, but at the same time, I'm not assuming that he is. I don't really know what the deal is there. So it's probably Andrew Vistardis as the starting center. If it's not Andrew Vistardis, it's probably Reese Atterbury. And if it's not Reese Atterbury, you got two freshmen in Greg Crippen and Raheem Anderson. So that's going to be pivotal for the offensive line to have a guy up front that can really do some things and that can call out the protections. Vistardis looked great against Minnesota, and then before his injury that forced him out for about half the season, he backslid a little bit. So how much is he able to improve, or how much is a new guy able to come in and do some things in Atterbury or one of the two freshmen? All right, finishing out this side of it, Daxton Hill. Daxton Hill, safety, 5-star. He at times looked the part of a 5-star, and then kind of near the end of the season against Rutgers and Penn State, I didn't feel like he lived up to what he's capable of. Rutgers particularly, aside from the interception to end the game, I thought he had a terrible game. But, I mean, he has all the talent in the world, and you saw a lot of it this year. And I think that he didn't become the breakout player you hoped, but you hope with maybe with George Hello and coaching him. You got to keep in mind, the safeties didn't really have a true safeties coach this year with Bob Shute being out. A'shaun Larkins, the assistant behind the scenes, was working with them. So he'll only benefit from having more time on task with a coach that can really help him. And, I wouldn't be surprised if Mo Linguist got a little bit involved there. He's the co-defensive coordinator. He's a former safety himself. So I think that bodes really well. All right. We will get to the top 5 in a moment. But first, we are going to get to Jordan Lewis. You can hear that full interview here coming up in a moment. I spoke to him just about 20 minutes ago. So you'll hear all of that. But before we even get to that, are we ready for some football? We've got a big weekend coming up with the AFC and NFC championship games. I am super stoked to watch those. I got my fantasy lineup set. I am ready. And guess what? There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust. That's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Is Tom Brady going to be able to duel it out with Aaron Rodgers? Patrick Mahomes got cleared, so it's going to be Mahomes versus Josh Allen. How much might we see Chad Heady? Will Chad Heady end up coming in and doing some things as well? I'm super stoked about this, so don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. At long last, as promised, we have a huge special guest for you here today on the Locked On Wolverines podcast. Every single one of you listening knows who this is. That's former Michigan cornerback, currently with the Dallas Cowboys, started almost every game for the Cowboys, Jordan Lewis. JD, thank you so much for joining us today, finally. So excited to have you on.
No problem. Thank you. I appreciate you for having me.
So, first and foremost, the big news here in Ann Arbor, amongst many of the hirings that Michigan's had, they just went out and got I was a little bit disappointed that they got rid of Mike Zordich, but they went out and got another guy that you've worked with in Mo Linguist. So Before we talk about the Zordich part, what was your reaction when you heard that Michigan was hiring as defensive backs coach and co-defensive coordinator a guy that was just recently your cornerbacks coach?
I mean, I was excited, you know, just spending a short time with Coach Mo. I just saw, you know, just how good of a man he was, not only just, you know, how fond he is about the fundamentals and everything that, you know, he preaches. He does it every day. He comes to work every day. And it was just, you know, just understanding him as a man and just, you know, we went through some tough times and he just stuck there with me. And so, I definitely vouch for him. I definitely, you know, I'm excited to see what he does in Ann Arbor.
Now, he obviously you were used to playing press man ever since you were at Cass Tech. You came to Michigan, you played press man. How much do you think that he, you know, does he bring that same kind of tenet? Does he do something, anything different? Like what is his style?
I mean, he's an X and O guy, and he has a technique. I mean, exclusively for the slot. He has, you know, the press technique that I've been doing for years before I even met him. So, I mean, it was just a quick mesh, and I'm just like, I can do that technique because I've been doing it for so long. And he definitely is a technical guy. He understands the game of football. He understands the cornerback position, and he understands, you know, how to play safety. I mean, he's just a great, you know, DB coach. And I'm just, you know, I'm just so happy that they got a personable guy up there that, you know, can relate to the kids and, you know, just give them comfort when they're up there, man.
How much do you feel like schematically, like you said, you've been saying the X's and O's, what is there anything else that he brings to the table on that front, especially considering he is co-defensive coordinator, so he's going to have a little bit extra say now in this defense?
I mean, I'm interested to see because we didn't really play his style of defense in Dallas, but he, you know, we just had to learn as we went. And I'm just excited to see what he does, honestly. But I know technically the kids are going to be sound, and they're going to have the tools to go out there and play, you know, every Saturday.
Now, they, like we already mentioned, Michigan is replacing him with a guy that you had for your final 2 years in Ann Arbor, a guy that was highly revered. Yeah. I'm on record as saying he was my favorite assistant that Michigan's had in the Harbaugh era.
Yeah, yeah.
So what was your thoughts when you heard that Zordich was being let go?
I mean, I kind of got all of the information at once. You know what I'm saying? Like, on the one hand, I was happy for Coach Mo, but on the other hand, I'm just like, dang, they let go of Coach Zordich, which, you know, he taught me a lot about the game. Just, you know, as a standpoint of just understanding what your, you know, your job is and, you know, how you fit in the defense and, you know, just learning formations and different things like that. That was like, you know, my first time being exposed to that with Coach Zordich. So, I mean, He definitely coached hard, and, you know, I always loved him for it. I mean, because he taught me the game. He definitely taught me, you know, some of the things that I needed for the next step.
Now, he was very personable, but, like, you've also mentioned that Mo has a certain personable-type demeanor to him as well. How much do you think that maybe can help, you know, being a younger guy, being able to come in and essentially relate to some of the kids that are – already on campus there in Ann Arbor?
I mean, it helps a lot. I mean, him, you know, given that he played the position, he understands that, you know, he plays the position in this era, understands that, you know, it comes with a lot. It definitely comes with a lot being a college student, playing at a big program. So he definitely has that aspect. And I mean, he just understands it. I mean, he has a feel for it, and he has a feel for, you know, when guys aren't, you know, like, you know, being themselves, or, you know, you're not feeling them, or, you know, he feels energy, and he brings it to your attention, and you guys, you know, it's amazing, man. It's just, you got to see it to experience it.
So that we've talked a bit about Mo, but obviously, I mean, this is the first time we've been able to connect on the podcast for, you know, well, this is the first time period, but the first time you and I have connected in about a year. How much have you been able to pay attention to Michigan from afar?
I mean, I've always been watching Michigan. You know, it's my alma mater, and I've always been, you know, fond about Michigan, of Michigan, because, you know, I've always been a fan since I was a young kid growing up in Detroit. So, I mean, I always watch them. I always watch, you know, the different guys they rotate in, and, you know, always seen, you know, what Coach Brown was doing. So I was always, you know, attentive.
What were your impressions watching the defense, and particularly the corners this year? defense obviously didn't look like a typical Don Brown defense. The corners really struggled early on, but really kind of felt like watching Vincent Gray and Jamon Green, particularly Green, seemed like he really got a lot better as the season went on. What were your impressions watching?
I mean, it was just, it comes with confidence, and, you know, it comes with understanding the defense and understanding, you know, how to work with each other. I mean, when you have young guys stepping in for the first time, you definitely have to have that cohesion, you know, with the front seven and the back four. So, I mean, it's just understanding what you need to do in the defense and what the defense, you know, needs of you. And I feel like once he got that, I mean, you can see he played a little bit better. So that's really what it was, just the confidence and understanding what the defense needed him to do.
Now, how difficult is it to kind of gain that confidence, especially in a scheme where you're getting put on an island a lot?
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. That's the hardest thing to do, man. Just go out there and play man. I don't know. I don't care what your game plan for it, but, you know, it's just you got to go out there and be mentally tough. You just got to go out there and understand that nobody can beat you, and you got to have that mentality. And I feel like, you know, they didn't play with that mentality. And I feel like, you know, that's just them not having the experience and going out there and going out there and playing it.
Last one for you. Now, I actually used to be a Cowboys hater until they drafted you, because I'm also on record of saying that you are tied for my favorite Wolverine of all time.
Oh, man, I appreciate that.
So obviously I couldn't hate on the Cowboys anymore. So now I root for you guys. What's this been like for you? This just being able to, like, cause it kind of seemed like you progressed slowly into being a guy that is on the field more and more and more and more on the defensive side of the ball. What's it been like for you, this progression, to get to this point where you are on the field seemingly most of the time?
It's been rough, you know, just coming from where, you know, I'm expected to play wherever, you know, in high school and college, and I'm just coming into the league, and, you know, I'm a third round pick, and I'm just like, okay, I'm just gonna fit in where, you know, I need be. But it was kind of weird not being a priority, you know what I'm saying? But I definitely got comfortable and just said, you know, put my head down and just told myself, you know what type of player you are. So I went out there and just worked, honestly, and just worked on my craft and, you know, kept my nose clean. And just, you know, we're here now. We're in free agency, and now I feel like I'm in a good position right now. So.
Well, awesome, man. I'll always be rooting for you, and I'm very, very excited that we were able to get you on finally.
No problem. I appreciate you.
All right. We will continue with the podcast here momentarily, so stay tuned for that. All right. Really good to hear from JD. Super excited to see where he lands. Part of me hopes he gets to stay in Dallas. I love that stadium they're in. It's so cool. Anyway, let's move on to that other five that I have listed here. So number five of our top Wolverines for 2021 is the top receiver. That's Ronnie Bell. Ronnie Bell, I feel like Michigan kept forgetting about him. And it was really weird. And then they would remember he was there, and then he would go out and just ball out. He was a guy that really, really helped this team. I think if they get him involved more early, then it would be that much more of a boom. But he's clearly a number one receiver type, and that's pretty exciting. I mean, you look at the fact that he had 401 yards in his six games, averaged 15 yards per catch, only one touchdown. But I think you got to get that number up. I think Ronnie Bell has everything you need going into his senior year, mostly between the ears. I think that he's got everything you want between the ears, and I think that is what really is going to help them if they go to him. Number four, another big shrug emoji. Whoever the middle linebackers are, and I probably could extend that to just the linebackers period, but again, you think that Michigan's probably moving to a 3-4 defense, so that's why it's linebackers. I have no idea how they're going to end up figuring out how to parse what they have and putting that together. So I think that that's just as important. You can put a little asterisk and say who, you know, the defensive line, especially the middle, the nose, because you don't know that Michigan's got like a typical 3-4 nose tackle, which makes me think that there is a possibility that even if they want to run a 3-4, they might stay with like a 4-3 just because of the personnel. I don't know. But if they do go to a 4-3, or sorry, a 3-4, you don't have Cam McGrone anymore. What do? You move the Will inside? Do like I kind of said on the podcast yesterday in the mailbag. I put like your defensive end type as one style of linebacker and your Viper as the other, with the typical middle linebacker as one and the Will as the other. So I don't really know what the answer to that is as far as the personnel is concerned. Just because Michigan's recruited a very specific way for the defense, and now you have kind of some upheaval. And I think that you look at teams that have really good defenses, it's always predicated, it seems like, yeah, you look up front, really good up front. Look in the back, really good in the back. But more importantly, they're really good in the middle. I think if you have really good linebackers, you can make a lot of things that don't look good look okay. Think Devin Bush. Obviously, they don't have a Devin Bush on the roster right now. But that was what Devin Bush did. He erased mistakes. I think I only ended up having 9 here because, I actually skipped one. I basically just did 4 and 3. So we're going to go back to 5. Heck, for the sake of this, we'll make him our number 3. Hassan Haskins. Michigan needs to establish the run. The offense isn't going to work if they don't do that, as you saw this year. And Michigan cannot do what it did in this last year, doing what they were doing with this. Everybody gets a carry. You get a carry. You get a carry. You get a carry. They need to establish a clear delineation between who the number one back is, who the number two, who the number three is. Heck, just the number one, and you can do whatever with 2 and 3 in my eyes, as long as you have one back getting 15 to 20 something carries. Hassan Haskins has to be that guy. So I have Haskins. I had Haskins. You'll see it. You'll see him being my number 5. For the sake of this, he's my number 3. Number 2, and this should be no surprise, Aiden Hutchinson. You got an All-American type guy coming back, a team captain coming back, one of the best defensive ends in the conference who got injured in week 3 at the very beginning. A guy that has first-round draft potential. Especially now that it isn't a bookend with Aiden and Quiddy. You need Aiden to step up and be that guy. A lot of this stuff is going to start up front defensively. If Aiden can come in and live up to his potential, then and I think that Michigan really has a chance to really rebound, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So that's what I'm going with for my number 2. Number 1, the biggest shrug emoji of the entire team. Whoever the starting quarterback is. I can't say it's Cade McNamara. I can't say it's Joe Milton. Milton, I stand by it. Still has the most overall talent. Well, he might not end up having the most overall talent once J.J. McCarthy gets to campus, which he is already on campus, but you know what I mean. But nonetheless, he has some things that no one else on the roster, heck, no one else in the Big Ten has, and that's a strong arm. But when he was out there, Michigan didn't really use the strong arm. They tried to West Coast offense it, and he did not do well once they took his legs away. Can he regain the starting quarterback job? Don't write him off. I know a lot of people say, well, it's Cade, and I'll be really disappointed if Joe ends up being out there. Listen, a bad season, a couple bad games, really, you shouldn't write someone off just because of that. You progress. He finally got some real game time that wasn't garbage time. He got to go out and win a big game against Minnesota. He got to try to put the team on his back against Michigan State and Indiana, and it did not go well at the end of Indiana, and it kind of snowballed from there. And you saw how he reacted to adversity. It wasn't great, but that doesn't mean that he can't do it. Cade McNamara, conversely, went out there in adverse moments and balled out. either one of those guys could win the job. Heck, J.J. McCarthy could win the job. He could come in and just be better. Whoever the starting quarterback is the most important player on the team. I mean, that goes without saying in general. But sometimes you got a guy that it's like, well, this guy's super important. You know, Aiden, if say they had a let's just say that we knew that one of the two that I just mentioned was going to start a quarterback and you felt good about it. Maybe you have Aiden as the number one and most important guy. The offense looks good, but the defense needs a little bit more something from its pass rush. Then, yeah, you have that guy. Or you have a corner, depending on what the needs are. Right now, the needs for this team are pretty equal between offense and defense. But if they can get a starting quarterback that can go out there and do some things, then it bodes really well. All right, that is going to do it. I will be back on Thursday next week. So I will put out the question for mailbags once I get back to Michigan on Wednesday. So look forward to that. Check out everything that we'll have up on Wolverine's Wire, which there will be probably about 10 things ready to go, pre-scheduled while I'm gone. And I'm looking forward to going, and I'm also looking forward to coming back. Anyway, that'll do it for us today. Thanks for listening. Appreciate you. We'll talk to you next Thursday. Peace.